today we're going to be speaking about how to overcome jealousy. William Shakespeare wrote in the play Othello this famous quote. He says, "Oh, beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is the green-eyed monster which doth mock the meat it feeds on." Which doth mock the meat it feeds on, I think is probably a better way to put it, with a little bit of an accent like that. And as I read that, I thought, what is this? Monster which Dory mocked the meat? It's doth mock the meat. That must have been a spell check that decided doth is not a word. But it should say doth, not Dory the fish, but doth the word. I thought, what in the world does that mean, that doth mock the meat it feeds on? And then I got to thinking about it. You ever seen a cat that has caught a mouse, but yet hasn't quite eaten the mouse yet? Did you see how the mouse, you ever seen it? It toys with the mouse. It plays around with the mouse a little bit. It mocks the meat that it's getting ready to feed on. And that's exactly what jealousy does. Jealousy plays with our minds. Jealousy makes us untrusting, makes us paranoid. It plays on our selfish desires, just like Joyce was saying. And it bats those things around in our hearts and in our minds like a cat does a caught mouse. And it toys with us before it ultimately consumes us, jealousy does. Jealousy, by the way, is the cat, and we are the mouse. And the mocking creates the paranoia and misdirects passion that makes us do remarkably unreasonable and irrational things. Now, I want to talk to you just for a minute about definitions. Now, there's the word envy, and then there's the word jealousy, and they're actually cousins. They're very similar, and yet they're subtly different. You're going to see that word interchanged a lot in the Bible, in fact, in different translations. Your translation, where it says jealous, where it should say jealousy, may say envy. But let me tell you the difference between envy and jealousy. Envy says this. Envy says, "I want and even deserve what you have." That's what envy says, is you own something and I want it, or in fact, I even deserve it, just because. Now, jealousy, on the other hand, says that I have something, but I'm afraid that you're going to take it. A little subtle. So let me tell you the difference here, and I'm going to give you an example. Let's just say, Fred, I want that sweater that you have that you're wearing. I'm envious of that sweater. It's rightfully your sweater. You bought it. I'm assuming it was a gift to you. It's yours. It's hanging in your closet. You wore it today. You own it. I want it. I'm envying your sweater. Okay? Now, you, on the other hand, would be jealous of that because that is legally and rightfully your sweater, but you're afraid I'm going to take it from you. So how they play into one another, that's what jealousy does. And that's actually what Joyce was talking about in her testimony, is that Joyce says, I want praise. I want to be told I'm pretty. I want that my sister's getting. That's an envy, but it's also a sense of being jealous because I deserve that. I deserve that. I want that. There's a lot of examples, by the way, of jealousy in the Bible and the results. You think about Cain, who was jealous of his brother Abel, and what did Cain do to Abel? He killed him. Joseph was favored of God, and his brothers tried to kill him. Saul was jealous of David and also tried to repeatedly kill him. The Jews were jealous of Jesus and eventually did what? Killed him. And we read the Bible, we see that there's a righteous, godly jealousy, and also there's a described as well as an ungodly, fleshly jealousy. If you've ever read the Bible, did you know that God is righteously jealous over you? Have you ever read those verses that say that God is jealous over you? You think, well, that doesn't sound like God. It's found in, one of them is found in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. Moses is giving his parting words to the people of Israel. And he says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Don't make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, here's God being jealous. Why is he jealous? Here's why. Because, you see, there's nothing or no one that is worthy of praise or worship or devotion other than God. And we give him worship, and we give him honor and praise. All of it belongs to God. And when you devote yourself in worship to any other person or any other thing, then God becomes jealous. Why? Well, because righteous jealousy, if you remember, it's what we experience when something that is rightfully and legally that belongs to us is given to or maybe is taken away by another person. And if you think about this, we're made by God to have relationship with him and worship him. The fact is that God has legal rights, whether we like it or not, to us as the best part of all of creation. He has legal rights to us to our worship. He has legal rights to us to relationship with us. He made us. The world doesn't get that, and that's why we see the world so much rebelling against it, and with all of their might they push against it, because they don't understand that God has legal rights to them as well. It doesn't change one iota the fact that God has legal rights over all of creation, even though we or the world may push against that. Right now, at this very moment, God is righteously jealous over the worship that all of his creation is giving to anyone or anything other than him. Because the worship that we give him, the devotion, the attention, the concern, the energy, and the passion that is given to anyone or anything else rightfully and legally belongs to God alone. Does that make sense? I know it's kind of tough to grasp, because you think about this, you think it sounds like God has got this insecurity about him, or that he's got to be praised somehow to build up his ego. That's not what this is talking about at all. We know that God is self-sufficient. We know that he has no ego. We know that God is perfect. We know that God exists for all of eternity. Long before he created us, he was, and he needs nothing from us to make him better. So why in the world is God so jealous when we worship other people or things instead of him? This is why. Because he knows how much it'll harm us. He knows that our worship toward any other person or thing will destroy us. That's the kind of God we serve. It's not about him. It's about us and what we do with him. He's concerned for our soul. God's exclusive and singular concern is for your well-being. And he knows that it's in your best interest, my best interest, to give him the worship, the devotion, the attention, the concern, the energy, the passion, the praise that belongs to him and to him alone. Because we were made, folks, to worship him. We were made to have relationship with him. Back in the garden, think about it. That's why we were created, to have relationship with him. Now, sin and Satan sidetracked that and perverted that. That original plan that God had. And then we know that Jesus came to get us back on track and to restore what Satan tried to obliterate. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, these words. Paul said, I am jealous for you. He's speaking to the people of Corinth. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure and undefiled virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, that your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Do you see how that works? Where Paul is also saying, I'm jealous of you because you belong to Christ. And yet here you are taking your heart, your passions, and your worship, and potentially giving them to someone else. His concern for the church in Corinth was that they stay in the pure and undefiled form of worship to him, and they would stay away from any false doctrines or fleshly desires that the world would detour their worship away from God. And we also see a couple of guys and how they responded, two godly men, and how they responded to it. And I want us to look at this for just a few minutes. So we look at Paul and Barnabas, and if you'll turn to Acts chapter 13, we're going to refer to some of these verses here, starting in verse 42 in just a moment. Paul and Barnabas were in a city they were preaching the gospel, just like they did on that missionary tour, several missionary tours. They were out again doing this, and on the Sabbath, they were preaching the gospel to whomever would listen. They were in the temple, they were preaching and teaching, and they were listening to everything else that was going on. And after Paul was given his turn to preach, many of the Jews that were there listening to him and other devout people, you'll read in verse 42, 43, that they invited them to stay until the next Sabbath to speak further. And so they did. So a week ensued between the Sabbaths. Word got around, and by the next Sabbath, we pick it up in verse 44, and it says this: on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Let me just pause for just a second. I want you to just think about this. Almost the whole city showed up to hear the word of the Lord. What if next Sunday, almost the whole city turned out here at Faith Assembly to hear the word of the Lord? Wouldn't that be awesome? Imagine what was taking place back then. Almost the whole city. I'm sure there's a few people that were straggling around, but almost the whole city showed up. All 55,000 plus, or however many we have in this city, would show up right here, we wouldn't have room for them. We'd have to fill up the parking lots, put out sound systems and all of that. Imagine all 55,000 people showing up here next week. That's what happened then. And here's where the jealousy showed up. We see it in verse 45. When the Jewish leaders saw the crowd, they were filled with what? Jealousy. And they talked abusively against what Paul was saying. Now, there's where it turns right there, and I want you to pick up on these two things. First off, they were jealous, and secondly, they talked abusively. We're going to visit those in just a few minutes, but I want you to remember those two things. Now, the Jewish leaders were fine with Paul's preaching and Barnabas's preaching. They didn't care, as long as it didn't mess up their status quo. But when nearly the entire city showed up the next week, they immediately began to defend their turf. Now remember, righteous jealousy says, I rightfully and legally have something, but I'm afraid you'll take what is rightfully and legally mine. That's what righteous jealousy is. The only problem with that definition is that the Jewish leaders had no legal rights to the people. They didn't own them. So their jealousy was not righteous, but their jealousy was fleshly. It became a green-eyed monster to them. And they immediately began to react in the flesh by talking abusively against the gospel being preached. So I want to turn this to you and ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt resentment when others succeed or get the affirmation for something that you feel should rightfully have been given to you? That's jealousy. It's saying, hey, that should have been given to me. Hey, that's mine. Hey, that promotion was mine. That reward was mine. That accolade was mine. That girlfriend or boyfriend was mine. That house or that car or that fill in the blank, whatever it is. Hey, that's mine. I rightfully should have that. They don't deserve that. I should get that. So you act out in such a way as to not reflect the best in you. And really, hopefully, the best in you today is Christ in you. So really what you're doing is you're not acting out in a way that reflects Christ in you. Because Christ is never jealous. So you get mad, you pout, you get even. You say things and you do things that make you feel better, or maybe you jockey for a more advantageous position, hoping that through your manipulation that the thing that might still come to your way that is rightfully yours. And that's exactly what the Jewish leaders were doing to Paul and Barnabas that day. You know, I imagine they'd never seen most of the city ever come out for any Sabbath service that they'd led. And then here comes these two upstarts showing up. And in 1 week, they do what they hadn't been able to do in, I don't know, like forever. Not on my watch, they said. And I'm sure they said that, something along that lines. But this is how I love how the Holy Spirit shows up. By the way, the Holy Spirit is the author of God's Word. And I love how he shows up in authoring this and pulling out these qualities of the story to show us the contrasting responses to the same event. Here's the big crowd showing up, and the Jews said, well, I'm jealous, and I'm going to talk abusively to you in the gospel. And yet, Paul and Barnabas had a godly, spirit-led response. So we remember now verse 45, it says, when the Jewish leaders saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy, and they talked abusively against Paul and what he was saying. They acted out their jealousy with hateful and fleshly and abusive words. But verse 52 contrasts their actions. Here comes. It says this, and the disciples, Paul and Barnabas, were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. I want you to remember those two words there, because that's where the two contrasts are this morning and how we can overcome our jealousy. Here's these two options. Here's the first one. Our first option is this. So remember, the Jewish leaders acted out in jealousy, but Paul and Barnabas acted out in joy. So we can choose to either be jealous or joyful. Write this down. If you're taking notes, this would be the time to do it. Jealousy acts out in one way, fleshly. Joyful acts out spirit-led. And we've already talked about what jealousy looks like. In the case of the Jewish leaders, it was abusive talk. But how can we act out joyfully when the green-eyed monster comes to pay us a visit? Well, Joyce, you kind of touched on it in your video. How about being happy for someone else's good fortune? How about talking kindly towards others and talking kindly about them? How about celebrating with them on their promotion? How about being glad when they get that recognition or reward? How about rejoicing when they're rejoicing? How about being happy that they're in a loving, healthy relationship or have that new thing or whatever, fill in the blank. Instead of being jealous, hey, that's rightfully mine, be joyful. Hey, good for you. Congratulations. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice how often? Most of the time. Always. Always. Being joyful, by the way, is a perspective shift. You see, jealousy is ingratitude. Jealousy is selfishness. Jealousy is destructive. Jealousy kills. On the other hand, joy is thankfulness. Joy is selflessness. Joy builds you and others up. Joy gives life. Joy isn't based on our outward circumstances, but it's based on our inward peace. Because when Paul wrote, rejoice in the Lord always, when he wrote that scripture, guess where he was? In prison. You got to get the perspective there. He was writing that while he was in a dungeon somewhere in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And he had every right to say, I can't believe God, you're doing this. I don't deserve this. I deserve better than this. But he didn't. He had the proper perspective on things, didn't he? He wasn't sullen or jealous, but he was joyful and thankful. Paul and Barnabas were kicked out of that city, but they responded in joy and with the Holy Spirit. It didn't say in the power of the Holy Spirit necessarily. It says with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was with them, and the Holy Spirit is more than just a powerful person who comes across in a bold way and, you know, all that. He is the Spirit of Christ, and so all of the fruit of Christ is in us. Joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, yes, boldness, all those other sort of things. But they were, the Holy Spirit was with them, and that brings us to our next option. Our next option is that we have a choice between either paranoia or power. Now, the Jewish leaders were paranoid. Hey, you don't you dare come in here and mess up my stuff. That's mine. Those people are mine. This power is mine. This position is mine. This authority is mine. That's paranoia. But Barnabas and Paul were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says that the Jewish leaders, they were not only spoke abusively, but they also rallied the troops. You'll see in verse 50, it says that the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. In other words, the men that were in charge, and probably their wives, it was basically the neck that turned the head, you know what I'm talking about, of that particular city, the Jewish leader says, hey, I tell you know what? These people have as much to lose as we do. So let's rally the troops. And they did. And all of them together eventually got them kicked out of the region. By the way, not just at that time. There's several times that Paul and Barnabas got kicked out. And there's many times that Paul got stoned and they tried to kill him. Because jealousy kills. So the Jews, along with the leaders, the leading power players of the city, saw that the potential of them losing their influence and control. So because of their insecurity, because of their selfishness, and because of their greed, they pooled their paranoia resources together and kicked these guys out. They were out of their minds with jealousy. They were paranoid. But we see that Paul and Barnabas' response, first in verse 46, it says that Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. Well, there is the boldness of the Holy Spirit. When they came against them and said, hey, the gospel is this and you can't do that, Paul stood up and said, let me tell you what I know. And he wasn't doing it in his own strength. He was doing it in the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit will give us boldness that we need to continue on in his will and in his plan, to speak the truth in love and to not cower to the jealous threats of the enemy. But they boldly responded and the gospel continued to advance. Verse 48 and 49 says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. You know, they could have cowered back. They could have responded in kind, but instead they stood up and said, no, we're standing in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And because we are doing this, the gospel was advanced. Many souls were saved. That was a crux right there. The power of the Holy Spirit also gives us not only boldness, but the Holy Spirit gives us perspective. When they were kicked out of the region, verse 51 says, they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them. You know, the Holy Spirit can help us to see that our reward and our acknowledgement, our value, it doesn't come from people, but it comes from doing God's will. People's opinions and jealous actions toward us should never define us. You know, they could have gotten mad, but they remained joyful in the Lord. They could have shrunk back, but they stood their ground boldly in the power of the Holy Spirit. When the green-eyed monster of jealousy comes a knocking at your door, don't allow it to take root in your heart. Because godly, righteous jealousy is good. It manifests itself in a pure, undefiled devotion to worship God. But fleshly jealousy manifests itself in selfishness, in paranoia, in greed, and ingratitude. So I'd like to ask, if you will, could you go back to the piano there for me? Thank you. I want to close with four things that will help you to overcome jealousy today as we close here today. If the Jewish leaders would have done these four things in response, the outcome would have been completely different. I want you to imagine for just a moment the Jewish leaders, if they would have repented. I want you to look with me in Galatians chapter 5. Actually, you don't have to, I don't want you to put it up on the screen, but I want you to write this down and look at it later. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 gives quite a list of things that talk about acts of the sinful nature. And did you know that among all of these that are really, really awful in there? I mean, there's quite a list, and it's not good company. Jealousy is in there, and it's not in good company. So the first thing, if they would have repented, I want you to think about it. If the Jewish leaders could have humbly repented of their jealous hearts, instead of acting out and saying, hey, they could have said, man, there's something going on in here that's not right. If they'd acted out humbly and repented before the Lord, God would have forgiven them, and God would have allowed them to be part of that harvest, would have allowed them to be part of that wonderful move of God that was going on there in that city. But they didn't. They acted out in jealousy. But the Bible says that we're to repent of those things. If you read in Galatians chapter 5, it says we must repent of these things. And one of them is jealousy, because jealousy, by the way, is a sin. Jealousy is a sin. That's what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. Number two, think about it. If they would have prayed for and blessed them, what a difference that would have been. Luke 6:28 says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If they felt mistreated by these people, by Paul and Barnabas, instead of them acting out in an abusive way, the Jewish leaders could have blessed them. They could have blessed Paul and Barnabas. They could have prayed for them instead of talking abusively to them and kicking them out of the city. But they didn't, did they? They were abusive to them. They kicked them out. So one of the ways that we can overcome jealousy is to pray for those people and to bless those people who mistreat us and who we feel jealous towards. The third thing is to remember that God is good. Remember, God is good. Psalm 145, verse 8, 9 says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. You know, the Jewish leaders could have reflected on God's goodness in all of his blessings on their life. I want you to think about how these Jewish leaders, I mean, they had the position. They had the authority. They had the blessing. They had the leveraged place of being able to minister into these people's lives. What a great place they were in. Yet, instead of being thankful for God's goodness and blessings in their life, instead they were trying to protect what they considered their turf and position. They were trying to hold on so tightly to that that they ended up probably losing that in the mean as well. Remember, God is good. God is good in your life. You may not be, you know, blessed like that other person. You may not be talented like that other person, good looking like that other person, in the same position like that other person, having the same things as that other person, but God is good to you. I want you to say that. Say, God is good. Keep your perspective that way instead of looking to that other thing and being jealous. Number four, and finally, love others. I want to read to you a scripture that we know very well, but I want to remind you. It's called the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, three verses here. Starting in verse 4, it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Oh, folks, Just like what Joseph was saying just a little bit ago when he opened up, we need to love others. This world is in desperate need of love, the Christ kind of love, the love that sees no wrong, is patient, is kind, doesn't envy, is not self-seeking, all of those things. You know, the Jewish leaders, they could have acted out in love towards these men. They could have, absolutely could have. They could have been a true reflection of God towards these strangers that were guests in their town instead of being rude and angry at them. So I ask you this morning, as you stand with me, would you please stand? I want to ask you a question as you're standing. What does this look like in your life? How does jealousy seem to manifest in your life? Let me encourage you this morning, don't walk in jealousy or paranoia towards others. Instead, may you live and daily walk in the joy and in the power and relation, the powerful relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, this morning we thank you that you're helping us today. We're not perfect. You're not expecting perfection, but you are expecting a passionate pursuit of the things of you. So, Father, may we passionately pursue the things of you. Lord, that we won't be jealous of others, that we won't be envious or jealous, that we won't want what other someone else has, or that we won't be jealous in the sense of saying, hey, that rightfully belongs to me. Or that we would be thankful, that we would realize you're good, that we would love others, that we'd be kind and pray for and bless one another, that we would repent of jealousy. Father, we do that this morning. Father, we all repent of jealousy. We've all felt it at one time or another. And Father, this society pushes towards what's rightfully ours, that whole thing of just, that's mine, I deserve, I deserve, I deserve. There's so many material things out there, and people get shot and get killed and all of that because of jealousy. Father, we're not necessarily going to kill someone, but Father, I pray that you'd help us forgive us for having that sense of feeling ought against that person, however deep and however awful it is. We repent of that. Forgive us of jealousy. Forgive us of envy. Forgive us of these things that are not the true reflection of who you are in us and through us, Jesus. May we walk in your love. May we walk towards others, blessing them. May we be reminded constantly of your goodness. And may we walk truly in repentance in every area of our lives, realizing that as we're content in you, selfless, acting out towards others in a way that would be the best reflection of who you are in us and through us, then we're doing well. Lord, we thank you today for helping us.